Hey, what's your name?
My name is Gerald.
So what do you think about John Amici coming out of the closet? How do you think people are going to react to that in the NBA?
He's not a Michael Jordan, so, you know, he either or. He could come out, stay in.
What if Michael Jordan said he was gay?
Then that would be the end of the world right there.
Okay, so that was Racist Gerald with Robin Lumberg of the 1050 ESPN. This is the Cap Figure Podcast. This is episode 5. Who are you?
I'm Tom McLaughlin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
So, before we get into our Dolomente topic, the All-Star Game... Ned Yost rigged it. He, like, let his Royals succeed, right?
Yeah. The Royals really took over, which, you know.
That's messed
up.
He
put him in a position to succeed.
Terry Collins re-saw the pains of being out-managered. I'm joking. Don't worry. Terry, you're not out-managered one bit. It was simply Salvador Perez not having to catch a whole game. You know, when he doesn't have to catch 100, he's doing slave labor. And when he doesn't have to, when he gets a little reward and gets a bat, and even though he hits a ball off his foot, he succeed, bro.
Carrying the team.
Word up.
No squatting.
All right, so for this episode, easy fodder for talk. But since the Angels are so bad, we figured we would do an episode on exploring the ideas of a Mike Trout trade. So a few backdrops into going why this is coming up more recently is because the Angels suck and they have no farm system, which Tom will elaborate on in a bit. But they have the third worst record in the AL right now at 37-52. They're 16 and a half games back of their division and 13 games back of the wild card. Their ace, Garrett Richards, is out, but
They've been decimated by injuries this year.
And even without injuries, they weren't expected to be that good. They're old. The Pujols contract is bad.
They still have Josh Hamilton on the books.
Right. They're paying 90% of his stuff. And Mike Trout is obviously godlike. So I don't know. Well, I'll just say how many wins he's been worth. 44 wins in his career, and 2012 was his first season. So just real quick, before I ask you how you attack this problem, Tom, I'm going to go through Mike Trout's WAR, which is win over replacement. And for, like, a scale, like, 10 is, like, a pretty slam dunk MVP year. You know, like, 5 wins is, like, an all-star. And he had 0.7 wins in only a handful of games, I believe, in 2011.
He was called up late in the season, and he played in, I think, like, 20 games.
Word. Then... So 2012, 10.3 wins above replacement, 2013, 10.5, 2014, 8.0, 2015, 9.0, and this year, through the All-Star break, 5.5, and these are Fangraph stats. So this is a star with a team that sucks around him, similar to how people feel about Clayton Kershaw, because, you know, the Dodgers have a winning record with him, and they're 500 without him, and yet they're in contention. So, And one last thing, they've given him some good teams. He's made the playoffs, but they've gotten swept or whatever. So, Tom, how did you begin tackling this assignment, or what was your first thoughts?
So, just to get a grasp of the situation, you know, everybody talks about Mike Trout being the best player in the major leagues, and, you know, we can kind of lose perspective of the player that is in front of us right now.
I did, because of Bryce's year last year.
Trout is, he's 25 years old, which is unbelievable considering, you know, he's entering his fifth full season in the majors. Those years, 2012 and 2013, his wins above replacement, as you mentioned, the 2012 season, I guess this other site, I have a 10.8 WAR. That was the 22nd best season ever among WAR, and he was a 20-year-old.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So when you think about historical comps through the age of 25, you're dealing with a very short list. I don't have the entire list in front of me, but when you look at his home run, his average, his run producing, he's on a level with, say, 10 or 11 other guys in baseball history, including Mickey Mantle, Barry Bonds, Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, at the third most important K-line, defensive position.
Jimmy Fox. Yeah, and, you know, Trout, really, when you do dig into his game, he's contributing in every single area. And that's
so good. We get how good he is. Let's talk about the trade. Everybody listening probably knows how valuable Mike Trout is. He's worth literally 10 wins a year. That you don't need us to, like, not to be rude there, Tommy. He's godlike.
Yeah.
So when you equate a value, because obviously it's like in fantasy, you don't want to get a pile of garbage for one good player because it's one slot. So but if you're a team like the Angels, you do need a pile of, not garbage, but above replacement. That could be very, very helpful to a team that's so awful right now. So where do you start to, like, find what a proper value is for such a ridiculously outlying all-star god?
Sure. So, you know, the other factor in that, which only increases his value more, is the fact that his contract right now has him through the 2020 season. And based on the current market rates of other outfielders, you know, Trout is coming in well below average. So that controllability through 2020 and his salary, which will be bumped up to $33 million, I believe, in the next few years.
Yeah, in 2018.
It's going to be relatively a bargain when you hit that 2019 and 20 season with the way salaries are going up.
Right.
Anyway, you know, taking that one player and then deciding what to break it up into, it's that question of, would I rather have $1 bill or four quarters, right?
Yeah.
Is the sum of, you know, four players who can contribute on the field right away, you know, but not at an all-star rate, is that equatable to one player? And
right.
The
it's
obvious answer is no,
right.
You would rather have the $1 bill because you don't want to just fill positions with players just to do that. So taking a step back, you need to look at where the Angels are right now. You know, they're not in it this year, obviously. Garrett Richards is going under Tommy John surgery. Jared Weaver is throwing changeups as fastballs, and he's probably the best pitcher in their rotation right now.
Right.
You're bogged down with the Pujols contract and Hamilton. So you're not in a good state. You have the worst farm system in the league. So
yeah, that's the more relevant than their current injuries. Like, whatever, pitchers go down. What did you say? They have the second worst farm system. What was their rating thing you were about to tell me off air before the show?
So I heard this on another podcast, and then I looked it up online.
Uh-oh,
there was
plagiarism.
A website that graded prospects on an A to F schedule, or A to F, yeah, grading schedule. B being a player that can probably stick in the major leagues. And coming into
this
season...
Wait, I thought this was a rating of their whole farm system.
No, this is individual
player?
Players.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah,
so go on.
And the Angels' highest single prospect in their entire organization, highest single prospect was a B-.
Ew.
So it's their farm system doesn't even have potential below average big league replacements coming up. So
right.
It even more kind of forces their hand.
Yeah, this makes it more juicy. It gives more credence to the four quarter thing and the philosophical discussion. And like you said, I just will elaborate, like, in basketball, you would never, ever, 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 ever do this. You'd rather give up five quarters for $1 in basketball. In hockey, for a goalie, maybe. Baseball is one of the few sports, I think, where, even though it's the most individual sport there is, right? Each player's performance is the most isolatable of any of the major sports.
Yep.
But one player cannot carry a team. You know, it's like a paradox almost. So.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It makes for really interesting, and I think that, you know, given that their farm system is awful, it's worth it for them to get a package or whatevs. So what were some of the packages that you brainstormed? Right, I asked you to give me some potential trade packages that are worth it. We've explored how valuable he is and the philosophy behind it and what we think the Angels should get. Now tell me what. Give me
let's
hardcore
get some
facts. Give me four quarters and a couple nickels here, Tom. Go.
All right, yeah, so we're going to dig in here. We looked at every
looked at,
organization's farm system. Hey, I'm just trying to help you out.
Thanks,
so I get
dude.
My next host.
No. Go.
All right, so Houston Astros. Here's a very interesting trade. In order to get Trout and I think the Angels would probably include the Astros having to pick up some of the salary of Hamilton for the next 2 years, but let's make Houston send shortstop Carlos Correa, right fielder George Springer, and starting pitcher Lance McCullers for Mike Trout.
Yo, that, and so for Mike Trout, and they have to take on some of Josh
Hamilton's.
That's really interesting, dude. Let me think for a second. My first question is, couldn't you say that, I haven't heard these, by the way, for everybody listening, like, wouldn't you, that's a lot, man. I don't know. So that's so much.
The reason, naturally, I would not want to give up Carlos Correa at shortstop.
It sucks, too, because they just traded for that bum who the Mets avoided getting, Carlos Gomez.
The reason that I think that this trade tangibly actually would work is because the Astros have a young prospect named Alex Bregman, who was the number two overall pick in last year's draft, who is the all-star of the Futures game. He crushes the ball to all areas, and he can play shortstop. So this is probably the trade that can most realistically work. And when you think about it, when you're getting a player like Trout, you know, the Angels would want back, you know, a generational type talent.
Okay, ask you, though, without those three players, like, this trade, like, doing something like that for Mike Trout, I guess makes sense for it. Like, if, let me think, a team that I think would fit the criteria, just thinking about it, would be a team that theoretically is one player away, but obviously you can't be one player away because you have to give away, like, 10 players to get him, right?
Right.
So, like, but we discussed it before, you know, as just for, like, off air, that you would want as the Angels. You don't want just long shot prospects because you have one. You have the biggest hit you could ever have in Mike Trout, right?
Sure.
You have the most A-plus hit ever, so it's like getting rid of Darrell Revis and drafting D. Milner or whatever. It's like, that's stupid. So you'd want some guys like George Springer. Correa is a tall order, but still, even still, I'm with it. But for the Astros, it's like, do you think that without those three guys, that like 2 years ago, I would love to have done this as the Astros, but now after giving up like Velasquez and all like we talked about for Giles and then the failed trade for Cargo, I feel like they may be like, you know what, we gotta slow down. We gotta think about the long term. Not that Mike Trout isn't doing that.
Yeah, and that was another thing. Another tricky point was making it work for both teams where they are right now. Remember, like, the team that's trading for Trout, they can't give away players that are going to help them contribute to win. So it's kind of that trade-off. Houston, I think, this is probably one of the more realistic possible trades, because if you think about it, if the Astros get Trout, they can move Gomez to right field, put Trout in center. They call up Bregman, who's basically ready to be at the big leagues. He can fill in at short. And then, you know, McCullers is just in the rotation, and Houston can use some of their deep farm system to bolster their rotation. So, you know, if you're the Astros and you think Trout can help you, you know, win a title more so than Correa, who has performed well, but that upside hasn't really been totally touched yet, and Springer, who obviously is an all-star right fielder, but can you replace George Springer?
No, I really like this trade. This is like, I really like it. I think I would like it more without taking on some salary, but they would do it. But you're essentially splitting up Mike Trout into 2 4-win players and maybe a 2-win player in the pitcher, or like a 6-win player in Correa. You know, it really makes sense. I like it. And they're all young. Let me ask you. I see the Cubs next. What was this? So it was the Astros. Are you going in order of your favorite one?
I just kind of basically started jotting down teams with the best farm systems and young talent that I think we can work
through. Give me the next one.
So for the Cubs, catcher / left fielder, Kyle Schwarber.
Who you want for Andrew Miller, but it's not going to happen. Yeah.
Shortstop, Addison Russell.
Yeah.
Or they could have their pick between Russell and Javier Baez. I'm sure they would probably take Russell.
Right
fielder, Jorge Soler. Center fielder, Alberto Almora. And then, as is the case with a lot of these other trades, it's plus the next 3 or 4 second-tier prospects, because the Angels would want back depth to bolster that, you know, that system.
Yo, from now on, you have 1 or 2 more written after this. I'm going to pretend that I'm the Angels and you pitch it to me, okay? So, all right, I guess I like, you know, how big are these one or two more prospects you're willing to give me here with the Cubs?
I mean, the Cubs farm system is
on a
so
scale
deep.
Of A to B, like A to F. How big are you willing to give up, like on your scale?
I'd probably give up three more B prospects.
Okay, you know, this is border, like almost a pile of garbage with two good, awesome pieces that excite me. Soler's a 50-50. I like this trade almost more than the last one, in a way. Because I'm so far away. If my farm system was even average, then I would like the Astros trade more so far. But this one, it's like, just give me some, like, medium, like, B-plus prospects, right? Like I was talking about, not A-pluses. I don't know. I like this one. This is cool.
And the Cubs are the perfect team to pull this off because they're kind of in that position where they have such a deep farm system that, like, these players are being blocked. And
yeah, similar to the Astros, like they have so many position players. Like Theo's strategy was to just draft hitting and buy pitching.
Next trade, I'm Dave Dombrowski, the general manager of the Red Sox.
Okay, well, I think you're a douchebag, but go on.
And I'm about to take you to town for the generational Mike Trout, who I would like to equate with Mickey Mantle, just to put that in there. I just have to drop that because
thank you.
Well, I love Mickey Mantle.
You're already a horrible negotiator. I'm the Angels, and you're complimenting my piece to Mickey Mantle, but go
on. All right, so let's break that up and let's restart your future out there in Los Angeles. And we're going to bring some star power and some names that fans are going to get excited about. We're going to help you both in the potential front end of your rotation, and we're going to solidify up the middle for you.
All right, give me names. I'm a busy man.
We're
going to
give you center fielder Jackie Bradley Jr., fresh off an all-star game, one of the best defensive center fielders in the game.
You say that about all of them, but okay.
Right fielder / second baseman Mookie Betts, another superstar, all-star young player. And
you got my attention, young man.
One of the top prospects in the game who is a bona fide superstar in the making, the switch hitting shortstop / second baseman Yoan Moncada, fresh out of Cuba. He's got swag. He wears the Boston Red Sox under eye patches. He smashed a home run in the Futures game.
Are those removable? Can they be converted to Angels eye patches?
I don't know. He's got a lot of them.
Okay,
so
we'll figure. Okay.
And then to add on to that, we're going to help you in the front end of your rotation with left-handed pitcher Eduardo Rodriguez and left-handed starter Henry Owens.
All right, you tried with those two. I mean, I guess they're a little exciting. I would do it. Get rid of all the. How about that? Tell me if you're willing to do this, Mr. Red Sox, Mr. Dombrowski. Get rid of everybody but Betts and Bradley. Will you give me Xander Bogaerts, and you don't have to take on any salary? I'll just give you Mike Trout.
So if it were Bradley, Betts, and Xander Bogaerts, I would do that for Trout I can keep Moncada.
Sure. What about all right. So I think we just reached a deal. I'm down for that.
I think that would be a great trade.
All right. I think that makes a lot of sense too, because the Red Sox are a team that, I mean, you guys, sorry, are willing to you know, buy your way out of any, like, if you end up with a gap or like you really like regret not having a right fielder. You could just bid on Bryce Harper in a couple of years, you know, whatever it is. Like you're a team with the money to get out of it and to extend Mike Trout.
Another team that's just in a perfect position with the very deep farm system. They have Blake Swihart, the switch hitting catcher, who's also, you know, in that discussion.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about this the other day. So they got a ton of position players.
This is another great example of taking two, like, you know, 75-cent pieces, if they would have that in America. Thank God they don't, because that would be extremely confusing. And, you know, it's kind of cashing it in and upgrading. So, I think that the Red Sox would be another team that makes sense. So here's another one, and I'm sure that every single article that will mention trading Trout, the first team they're going to mention is the Dodgers. And for good reason. They
give me your offer, but you're pitching me.
All right, so 19-year-old Julio Urias, one of the best, well, actually the best pitching prospect, left-handed starting pitcher up at the major league level, has been untouchable for several years. Stuff is, you know, plus 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 stuff his first three pitches. He obviously shows the ability and the composure to pitch at the major league level. He's 19 years old. There's a reason why he's been one of the highest pitching prospects. Yeah. So we'll throw in then right fielder, Yasiel Puig.
Okay.
Center fielder, Jock Peterson.
Ooh.
Top catching prospect in the game, Austin Barnes. And shortstop, Corey Seager.
Yeah, I was waiting for him. Okay, so now this is the a little bit getting closer to, like, I like it as a fan, but this almost is the Darrell Revis problem I referenced, where it's mostly long shots for when I've already had the biggest hit of all time I could have. You know, I personally, as the Angels GM, want more, like, I'd rather have a pile of Joe Panik and Brandon Crawfords than some Corey Seager's, while awesome this year, and Urias, while probably awesome, and they're certainly not in AAA, like, they're still quote-unquote prospects, but they're playing well right now. I like the Red Sox trade we agreed on better so far, but I don't know if the Angels feel the same way. This is just Ryan DiPaolo / Angels GM thinking this, that you know, it seems funny, like, what's, you know, the most you could ever hope for out of any of those is Mike Trout, but...
All right, here's one more for you, and this will get you some major league level ready talent, as well as players that are early on their career with a lot of controllable years.
Yeah,
outfielder Christian Yelich.
Oh. Oh.
Starting pitcher Jose Fernandez.
I have a boner.
Catcher JT Realmuto.
No homo. I have a boner. All right, maybe Oh God. This is a good one.
Stanton and Trout out there.
You're making me.
Ozuna's there as well. Wow. Gordon.
Yeah. Man. God. Realmuto. Oh God. I'm thinking of a counter offer. It's like, dude, I don't even know. I guess I'll take it. But I feel like that's too light. Like, take Albert Pujols also. My favorite is the Red Sox one, even though I love Yelich. And Jose Fernandez is amazing. Like, I guess I want three or four, like, real pieces. I don't know. I like it. These are all good ideas, man. So, let's talk. We have maybe a couple minutes, like, 5 minutes left or so. Tell me, like, in doing this exercise, like, now that we've explored, I think, as the Angels, would you agree with me, like, if you were Angels GM, that you would want a similar thing that I'm looking for?
Yeah, I would say on a theoretical level, you're dead on and totally right. I would love to split it up into pieces that can contribute right away, who are either early on in their MLB careers. You
under
know, 25 you know,
year olds with 2 years of success. Or something.
You know what you're getting. But at the same time, you're also going to then want the depth to replenish the farm system and have pitching.
That's a good point.
But the real problem in finding these trades is matching up the timelines of the teams. You know, if you're ready to win right now, you really can't give up.
Because it's such a big thing to move. It's not like a minor, like, it's not like when you're moving just a minor piece, like a reliever for a prospect or something, your timelines don't need to match up that well. This is such a big double franchise changing thing that it's like you have to be on the same page at the same time, or else this is not going to work. So that's a good point.
Right. And if you get, say, Jose Fernandez and Christian Yelich and Realmuto, right, even though they still have many controllable years
it's
left,
like, what good are they with a horrible farm?
Yeah,
right?
By the time that, you know, the farm system develops out, your team is already going to lose Jose Fernandez to the Yankees.
That's a good point.
So, you know, what it really comes down to for the Angels, and if I were the GM, I think you have to basically just trade everybody else except for Mike Trout, and you kind of just have to hit the reset button.
But you got another one else value, like who? Cole Calhoun maybe, and like Garrett Richards and that reliever guy.
Yeah, that's another problem. There really are not that many assets that they can trade.
That's why we're talking about this, because they don't have a real quick way to rebuild the farm / get good young talent.
But
I guess you're right. I guess I'm a little too much in looking for now talent in fear of the Darrell Revis scenario. So maybe something like the Cubs package is the best.
Well, it's like, you think about the Angels, the players that they have on it right now, like even Jared Weaver, as much as he doesn't have a future in the league beyond this year, he's a free agent now. He's a major league starting pitcher, and a team that's going to the playoffs, you know, if they would like Jared Weaver out of the bullpen, they might consider giving up two C-plus prospects for it, and they should start pulling the trigger on those type of deals.
I mean, I get your point. I don't know if you can throw an 81-mile-an-hour fastball out of the bullpen, but your point is well taken. I understand.
Like Cole Calhoun, even though you may not be getting what you think is, you know, fair value for him, you know, you got to reset that timeline, and you might as well be losing games and tanking. It's going to be hard to sell tickets, but I'd rather,
screwed anyway.
Totally hit the reset button. And
well, that's why young pieces, you could sell tickets also. All right, let me ask you one more thing before we end. So, you know, they're a franchise with money, right? And they're willing to spend, but they have all this money owed to Pujols and
Hamilton.
So, say you're getting 9 games a year from Mike Trout.
Sure.
Is there a way to equate, if I make a team take on Pujols' contract also, how many less wins per year you're getting? Like, it depends on each franchise, obviously, because there's no salary cap, right? And it depends on the money of the franchise. But it's hard to equate, because I would love to, I wouldn't have to rebuild the farm as much if I'm a team as rich as the Angels. If I get like the Bogarts, Bradley, Betts trade, and I get rid of Pujols, which is not possible, but say I could do that, then I could just buy my way back and not need to rebuild the farm from scratch because I have all this money free.
Yeah.
But how much does that hurt Mike Trout's value, do you think? Three games?
Yeah, I don't have the specifics of the Pujols contract in front of me, but I think that that's something that is...
It's like 3 more years, $25 million.
Yeah, if I had to put a tangible number on it, I would say that if you included the whole Pujols contract, considering where he's at, where he's going to regress, what he's getting paid, I mean, that would take away literally half the value of Trout for me.
Yeah, I think at least a third. Like, if the richest franchise, the Yankees or Red Sox, it takes away 2 or 3 wins, and somebody like... a little more broke, like, yeah, maybe half. It's a big problem they have that I wonder what's more valuable for the Angels, right? Like, because I would love to get rid of it, but maybe it makes sense for them to just keep eating the Pujols contract and get as much value as they can for Trout. But then, like I said, if they get rid of both, then they can make free agent signings, but they're not close enough to make free agent signings and get good.
Yeah, I think...
My head exploded.
Well... all of your points are well taken, and it all makes sense. If I'm the GM, I just can't trade Trout, because even at the age of 25 right now, we sell everything off around him. We try to rebuild the farm system. Even though Pujols is there, we're paying him out. He'll bring in fans as well, to some extent. You know, Trout's going to be, let's say we're doing a 3-year rebuild, Trout's still 28, and that's his baseball prime. So you try to sell him on the idea of, okay, we're going to be terrible this year. We're obviously not going to be good next year because we don't have a starting rotation at all. But we're going to trade off everything that's here right now that has any value. We're going to get young guys in the system. They have Andrelton Simmons, who once he gets healthy.
I'm looking for Bogarts, but he's awesome.
You get something for him, and you sell Trout on the idea that, all right, we're going to, you know, have to work through some growing pains here, but we're going to hope to get back some young talent. You know, maybe not the flashy prospects, but just complimentary pieces, and put them in a position and tell them, look, the job is yours. Just go out there and let's see what you can do.
I wonder if that's hurt them. Dude, that's really interesting, and I respect that is a surprise. I thought you would be down to trade him if you were the Angels at the end of all this, but there's only he's a generational talent, quote unquote, and there's somebody referenced that there may be an inflation of general talent.
It's a mini generational
generational talent inflation, right? There's probably 10 quote unquote Correa. Generational talents out there right now, like Machado, Chris Bryant, but too many per generation.
Correa,
but, like, probably 17, right?
Luis Severino.
But what's his name? Greg Bird. But so, I don't know. That does surprise me. You're right. But I guess it makes sense. I wonder if it's hurt their like long term strategy in a way to be like, all right, we got to get good around this guy quick. But there is whatever, man. you know.
Baseball is so interesting because when you think about this going back, you know, Trout was the 25th overall pick in the first round. And for a high school outfielder from New Jersey to be picked 25th, he was obviously pretty good. But he's just one of those players that has so much value. You know, if they knew what Trout was going to be, do you think that the Angels would then go and sign Albert Pujols and Josh Hamilton in 11 instead of, you know, extending that horizon a little bit, letting Trout come into his own and then build around him with a couple of other players? They were trying to sell tickets at the time. They didn't know what Trout was because he hadn't been up yet.
That was 2011?
Yeah.
Wow.
So wait, maybe 2012 when they signed.
Yeah, because didn't Pujols win before he left?
Yeah. Oh,
in
so
2012. So it was 2013. But okay. So it was 1 year of awesome Trout. Either way, I feel you. So good job, man. I mean, that's it. That's 30 minutes. You know, look, guys, we're going to try to do episode a week, obvi, minimum. I'm going to get a new celeb for you next week, Tom. Don't worry. Like another sports media big shot. Do you have any last words?
We love you.
All right. Bye, guys. For the Cap Figure podcast.
We out.
McGillicuddy Johnson and Duty Duty. No, Ryan DePaula, Tom McLaughlin. Bye.
I hire people. They do a website. It costs me $3.
CapFigure.com.